Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday, January 5th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And hey, I am a member of the Divine Nine, which are the nine historically African-American fraternities and sororities founded at colleges here in these United States of America. And I want to give a big shout out to Kappa Alpha Psi, K.A. Psi, as it is K.A. Psi's Founders Day today. So happy Founders Day to you good brothers. I've got some good friends who are Kappas, as we call them, and who are really good men, including my late great uncle, good old Uncle Freddie. All right, so happy Founders Day to all the noobs out there. We've got a great show coming your way. Tonight, the Michigan State men's basketball team will be in action, back in action, coming off a Saturday win over Nebraska, a win that was Tom Izzo's first win for his troops in the conference. A bit shocking. It has been a very rocky start for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And as I recounted on yesterday's Current Sports, looking at how that game began in the first half, I mean, there was a moment when Nebraska took a two-point lead that it looked like Michigan State could spiral out of control and possibly start the Big Ten Conference year 0-4. But that did not happen. And, you know, we had some big-time performances from big-time players and big moments in that game. None bigger than Aaron Henry's performance in that game for me. He was fantastic. But there are a lot of inconsistencies with this team, and I'm going to just briefly preview and give my thoughts on what could happen tonight against Rutgers, and you'll get a chance to hear from head coach Tom Izzo as well. All right, so we'll dive into that. Also, I want to give you guys an update concerning what the Detroit Lions are doing right now in terms of trying to search for the next general manager and the next head coach. And when it comes to President Rod Wood, you know, he let it be known that he's not going to look for a GM first before finding a head coach. He wants these positions, to be looked at as a partnership and not necessarily that the GM is the quote-unquote boss of the head coach, all right? So I think that is a very interesting way to look at it, and I see no problem with that whatsoever. And I'll give you guys an update as to who I believe will be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions as interviews are happening throughout this week, and I'm sure a decision is going to be made soon. The thing is, though, there are many NFL teams out there right now who are looking for their next head coach. So you got to act quickly, and you know you got to make sure that you're offering a solid deal. And at the end of the day, you got to hire the right coach that you believe fits what you're trying to do the best. So we'll dive into all of that as well. And if we have time, you guys know I'm a diehard NBA fan, and I've enjoyed the NBA being back in my life for sure. Nothing like just having my Pistons playing on the TV as I do some work on a weekday night. And last night, no matter how much they lose, I know the Pistons are arguably the worst team in the association right now, but still, I'm a diehard Pistons fan, and I rock with my squad no matter how bad they are, okay? But if we've got time on the back end of the show, I'll give you my brief thoughts on what I've seen from the red, white, and royal blue this year as the Pistons lose another one. The latest coming last night at the hands of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. They actually have a rematch against the Bucks on Wednesday. So we'll see if they can enact some revenge, but they do lose again. Again, if we have time, I'll touch upon that. All right, but hey, if you, yes, you, would like to be a part of the show, you guys know that you can weigh in multiple ways on social media. You can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can hop on Twitter and tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Or hey, at least shoot a brother a follow, right? And you can also tweet at WKAR News, the official page of all things WKAR as well. And you can call in and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, folks, let's start here. The number 23 ranked Michigan State men's basketball team returns home to host number 14 Rutgers tonight, 9 p.m. You can catch that game on ESPN2. It will be played inside the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. And after playing three of its first four Big Ten games away from home, the Spartans will now play four of their next five at home, so they'll get pretty comfy here in East Lansing. Michigan State enters the game with a 7-3 overall record and a 1-3 mark in the Big Ten after that 84-77 dub at Nebraska on Saturday night. Rutgers right now is 7-2 overall, 3-2 in the Big Ten following a 77-75 squeaker loss at home to Iowa on Saturday. The Spartans lead the head-to-head series. Check this. Michigan State is 10-0. That's right. They have won all nine meetings since Rutgers joined the Big Ten, including that one lone meeting without them being in the Big Ten. But 10-0 all time against the Scarlet Knights. Wow, that's pretty impressive. So we'll see if that streak continues tonight for Tom Izzo. We'll have more on that game in just a moment. And big shout out to the Michigan State women's basketball team and also the Michigan women's basketball team, as both programs are undefeated this season and both moved up in this week's Associated Press Top 25 rankings. The Wolverines at 7-0. 2-0 in the Big Ten, moved up one spot to number 15 after earning a pair of wins last week, while the Spartans at 8-0, 3-0 in the Big Ten, jumped from number 25 to number 23 after downing Purdue 71-64. They are two of six Big Ten teams in the rankings, joining Maryland at number 12, Ohio State, number 16, Indiana, number 19, and Northwestern, number 22. Michigan and MSU both have home games on Thursday. The Wolverines will host Nebraska, while the Spartans will take on Maryland. Michigan and MSU are scheduled to meet on January 18th. Hey, that's my sister's birthday. In Ann Arbor, and January 28th in East Lansing. All right. And when it comes to the top dogs in the Associated Press Top 25 poll, Stanford at 9-0 remains number one, followed by Louisville, North Carolina State, and UConn. All right, but that's awesome to see both Spartans and the Wolverines on the hardwood, both women's basketball teams doing work. That should make for a very fun clash on January 18th. All right, and yesterday, the Michigan State hockey team topped Penn State at Munn Ice Arena, a 5-1 victory, earning the Spartans a series split against the Nittany Lions. Michigan State gets 3 days to now prepare for a home-and-home series against Michigan. Michigan is 5-5 overall, 3-5-0-1 in the Big Ten. The teams will meet up at 7 p.m. on Friday at Yost Arena in Ann Arbor, and at 4:30 on Saturday at Munn Arena. Saturday's game will be televised by the Big Ten Network. The Spartans and the Wolverines are actually tied for fifth place in the Big Ten with 8 points apiece. Michigan hasn't played since losing twice at home against Minnesota back on December 8th and 9th. So it's been quite a while for the Wolverines. All right, another Michigan State football player plans to continue his college career elsewhere. This time is Trayvon Morgan, who has entered the transfer portal, becoming the 14th member of the program to do so since mid-November. Morgan, who is a 6'7" wide receiver, he will leave East Lansing after contributing 2 catches for 46 yards and a touchdown during his tenure with Michigan State, all coming in a December 12th loss to Penn State that turned out to be the final game of Michigan State's season. Morgan, who is a redshirt freshie and a former 3-star recruit, he sat out the 2019 campaign after suffering a knee injury in the preseason. And with this new transfer portal thing and Michigan State players leaving, well, that has also led to the arrival of 4 transfers in the process. Quarterback Anthony Russo from Temple, running back Harold Joyner from Auburn, offensive lineman Gerald Horst from Arkansas State, and defensive lineman Drew Jordan from Duke. So it's a catch-22. Yes, there will be some players that leave, and there will be some players that come to East Lansing via the transfer portal. And I love it. Look, it's the new wave of mobility, allowing college football players to, hey, if they don't like a situation, chuck up the deuces and leave. And some will argue, well, Al, what is that teaching our young men? Stick it out. Stick through it. Persevere. That's what life is about. Yeah, I get all that, and to an extent, I agree, if these dudes were getting paid. They're not getting paid, so loyalty is out the window from the start. Go ahead, Trayvon. We wish you well, my man. Okay, the University of Michigan baseball team is adding a familiar face within the state to its coaching staff for the 2021 season. Former Detroit Tigers infielder Brandon Inge recently accepted a position as a volunteer coach. Inge's wife, Shanny, told the Free Press on Monday of the 13-year MLB vet's decision to join the Wolverines. The 43-year-old spent 12 seasons with the Tigers from 01 to 2012, mostly as a third baseman and a catcher. U of M baseball isn't expected to make Inge's hire official until later this week or early next week. Head coach Eric Backage, he will reportedly announce Steve Merriman as the team's pitching coach to replace Chris Fetter, who departed after 3 seasons to become the Tigers' pitching coach under new manager A.J. Hinch. All right, and the odds were stacked against the Detroit Pistons yesterday. They were down 2 starters in Blake Griffin and Josh Jackson. They were playing the second night of a home road back-to-back, and they were playing the Milwaukee Bucks, the Eastern Conference's best team last season. So the Pistons lost to the Bucks, 125 to 115, a much closer game than many expected, including myself. Received strong performances from Jeremy Grant, who had 24 points, 3 blocks, and Derrick Rose, who also had 24 points off the bench for the Pistons, and trimmed an 18-point deficit to 8 in the final 3 minutes of the night. The Pistons at 1-6. Have lost 12 straight to the Bucks, including the postseason, with their last win coming February 28th, 2 years ago, back in 2018. That's a long time. Okay, and last but not least, for all of you hockey town fans out there. The Winged Will is scrimmaging today. That's right. The Detroit Red Wings designated day 5 of training camp today to feature a scrimmage between Team Red and Team White. It's a big deal because it marks the first time anything resembling a hockey game has been played at Little Caesars Arena since back in March of last year when the Wings lost to the Carolina Hurricanes on March 10th. That was 2 days before the NHL paused the 2019-2020 season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. All right, so that's a pretty big deal. Nice to see hockey back on the ice at LCA. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, as I mentioned, multiple ways to let your voice be heard on current sports. You may not be able to call in live, but you can leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and weigh in courtesy of good old social media. Tweet the show at WKAR News, tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, or just simply leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. As we hit our first break and move along from segment A, in segment B, when we come back, we will preview Michigan State men's basketball taking on Rutgers tonight in East Lansing. That and more. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, a few other things of note when it comes to the latest headlines on this Tuesday, January 5th. After exposure to COVID-19, both Nets forward Kevin Durant and Duke men's basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski will now need to quarantine for multiple days. Yeah, that was big news yesterday. Apparently, Coach K, someone in his family, contracted COVID-19, so he has to now quarantine. And I believe, let me double check this, I believe that Duke does have a game today that, tomorrow, Coach K will have to miss as Duke will play Boston College. So that's a big concern there. Also, the L.A. Chargers fired Anthony Lynn. And that leaves only two black head coaches in the NFL. How crazy is that? That don't carry the interim tag, who are permanent coaches in the NFL. Only two. Very, very telling, right? You know, we're still battling that thing, that R word here in 2021. Urban Meyer is seeking $12 million a year to take the Jacksonville Jaguars head coaching position that was left vacant by the firing of Doug Marrone. And I think Urban is taking his time on deciding whether or not he wants to coach the Jags, because I just don't know how appealing that job is, because the Jaguars are very, very bad. And the cupboard is pretty bare there. All right. So, yeah, very interesting storylines happening. COVID-19 continuing to wreak havoc in the sports world. Positive tests left and right. And, oh, yeah, Josh Jacobs. Did you hear about Josh Jacobs? He was arrested and charged with a DUI after a single car crash. Josh Jacobs is the star running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. So a lot going on around the sports world, folks, both on the court and field and away from it. All right. Okay. I want to transition now and talk about also the major news about the NCAA men's basketball tournament, as the NC2A announced that the entire men's basketball tournament this year will be played in Indianapolis. Now, I think This is great because this ensures some degree of safety, more degree of safety than what we're seeing right now, where college basketball teams everywhere are traveling from school to school to school and are greater exposed to COVID-19 because of that traveling. And I won't say sure way, because positive tests still can happen, especially when you're talking about the sheer mass that is Division I men's college hoops. But if you put in place some kind of bubble where there is a central location where most, if not all, of your college teams are located, then you have the opportunity to try and control it more than if every team is hopping on a bus or a plane and traveling, playing each other. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out in Indianapolis. But I think, you know, what we're seeing here is the NCAA taking a page out of the NBA book, which they should. Adam Silver and the NBA did it magnificently, didn't they? When we saw the NBA season continue and then go into the postseason and then, you know, eventually the finals, which led to the LA Lakers being crowned as the champs of the NBA world. But, you know, with really like no positive test happening because everybody was inside of that bubble, which was located out in Orlando, Florida. That was big. And they showed that, hey, if you have a bubble in place, then you can kind of control this thing to a degree. Monitor your players, make sure they're not traveling outside the bubble. If they do, they have to quarantine, mandatory quarantine. I love it. So it is going to be a very weird and different March Madness, but March Madness nonetheless, because we all missed it terribly last year, right? So now I want to talk about Michigan State men's hoops. It has been a up and down start to the year, hasn't it? You know, this has been a team that has made you yell at your TV, maybe throw a pillow or two, maybe get a noise violation or three while at home watching these games, especially for those members of the Izzone. And speaking of Izzone, gosh, I hope I don't forget to pub an amazing, two amazing pieces that are on our current sports page on our website at WKAR.org. But I digress. When it comes to Michigan State men's basketball, it's hard to put a finger on this team right now. It just is. You know, Michigan State right now will look to win back-to-back games for the first time in nearly a month, folks. They're coming off a win against Nebraska on Saturday, and now Rutgers, number 14 Rutgers, comes to town. And, you know, you look at this game, and I just don't know. Right now, it's a toss-up. When you look at the Vegas line, MSU is only a 1.5-point favorite here, which means it's jump ball. This thing could go either way. And, you know, the reason why is because, you know, again, Michigan State struggles. For me, in order for Michigan State to trend upward and to continue to capitalize on what we saw this past Saturday with a win, Aaron Henry has to be that guy. You know, Michigan State was carried by Henry's career-high 27 points against Nebraska on Saturday. You know, and it was the type of game that Henry needed. You just felt like that, right? Because Henry had been in a slump. You know, he's still trying to figure out the game and his pacing. And, you know, it is a little alarming, you know, that Michigan State needed a career-high 27 points from Aaron Henry in order to beat a team like Nebraska. I mean, no knock against Nebraska, but, you know, that's a team that is last place in the Big Ten Conference. And you needed a performance like that from one of your stars to win. So, yeah, I mean, you could certainly use another big night from Henry. I mean, that's every night, though. I mean, Aaron Henry has to be that guy. I believe Aaron Henry, you know, if you're looking at one player who you look at and say, okay, that's the guy you got to watch out for. That's your score. that's your engine, I think Aaron Henry is that guy, right alongside Joshua Langford. Those are the two guys that are the captains of the Michigan State ship right now. And you got to have consistent performances from them. I don't think on any given night you can afford either Aaron Henry or Joshua Langford to have a bad game. If they do, who do you look for as that possible second guy or third guy? Heck, even if they both are clicking, let's be real here. If they both are out there having a great game, you don't know, and this is a problem that I expressed last week on the show, you just don't know who that third option is going to be. So I'm curious to see if Aaron Henry can duplicate or come close to duplicating his performance this past weekend. Also, I want to say this. Rocket Watts, he's an interesting conversation, isn't he? Because right now, Rocket Watts, according to Tom Izzo, Rocket Watts is going to play the two guard. The experiment of having Rocket play point just wasn't working. I never thought his game truly suited a point guard's game. He is a scorer. And you don't want, most times, you don't want your scorer having the ball being your quarterback at point unless they find a healthy balance between distributing the basketball and scoring, i.e., a Cassius Winston. Cassius was like the perfect point guard, right? He was able to find guys and then pick and choose his spots to score and also completely take over a basketball game. So freshman guard A.J. Hogard, he made his first career start on Saturday, and he played a very good game, a very good game in his starting debut. 2 for 3 from the floor for 4 points, which, you know, that isn't overly impressive, but he was also able to dish out 5 assists compared to only 1 turnover. That's the type of production at the point guard position that Michigan State needs, and which they lack for during large chunks of this season so far. So, and he's got plenty of room for improvement, you know, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Tom Izzo highlighted that during his press conference, which you'll hear a bit of in just a moment. But having him at point, you could just see a difference in the team. It was a noticeable positive for this team. So I think he'll get the start tonight, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But again, the spotlight for me, you know, can Aaron, two big questions. Can Aaron Henry duplicate or come close to duplicating his performance from this past Saturday? And Rocket Watts, can he wake up? Because Rocket is in a slump, as well. He's got to contribute more to this Michigan State team. You know, all the hype that was surrounded around Rocket Watts when he first came here. You know, last year we didn't get to, you know, right when Michigan State was clicking in March, like they always do, we didn't get a chance to see Rocket grow up a bit and possibly put on some great performances in the postseason. But, you know, this is now his second year, and he started off the year pretty good. But it's a roller coaster right now because he has not played well. So I think this is a game. I'm with Vegas here. This is a game that is going to be knocked down, drag them out. You know, getting to know Rutgers just a little bit here. They have a 7-2 record, 3-2 in the Big Ten. They are coming off a loss, 2-point loss against Iowa this past weekend. You look at, you know, the leader for them in points, it's Ron Harper Jr. Yes, Ken, two former Chicago Bulls great who played alongside Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the GOAT. Ron Harper. So Ron Harper Jr. is leading the team with 22 points per game. When it comes to the boards, junior center Miles Johnson is that guy. He is averaging 8.7 rebounds per game. And, you know, the leader in assists is senior guard Jacob Young, who's dishing out 5 of those thank yous per game. So, and Rutgers is no longer, I understand, you know, I've read in the headliners that, Rutgers has never beaten Michigan State. Michigan State is 10-0, but Rutgers is not a guaranteed win on the schedule anymore. You know, and that has been the case the last few years, but nah, not this year. I like Harper Jr. a lot. Even though I did read that he is dealing with an ankle injury. So, you know, he missed a game early last week after spraining his ankle in practice. He was able to return on Saturday against the Hawkeyes. And he was held to only 13 points in that game. That was his lowest scoring performance of the season. So we'll see if that's still bothering him tonight and whether or not he's at full strength against Michigan State. But, you know, they get a lot of their scoring from Young, 15 points per game. Montez Mathis as well, 15 points per game. Senior guard Geo Baker, 10 points per game. Those three, along with Harper, they all combine for 63.3 points per game. That's nearly 80% of the Scarlet Knights scoring this season. So, again, Young, Mathis, Baker, and Harper. You'll hear those four last names a lot tonight. So Michigan State defensively. Michigan State has been a disappointment defensively. Let's be real about that as well. They have not played well defensively, and that is so uncharacteristic of a Tom Izzo team. If they don't play well defensively tonight, though, it will lead to a loss. Got to play well on both ends of the floor. I want to see Rocket Watts score more. He's got to hit double digits. Aaron Henry has to nip, I think, at 20 points. I'm not letting Joshua Langford off the hook as well. I need a 12 to 15 point performance from him. Joey Hauser, I'm looking at him as well. And can A.J. Hogard prove that he is the starting point guard of this team? A lot of question marks for this team in Michigan State as we continue the year. All right. When we come back from this final break, I will put a bow on today's current sports by talking about the Lions general manager and head coaching start and where we're at with this. And also, you'll get my thoughts on, just brief thoughts, on the Detroit Pistons falling to the Milwaukee Bucks and what we can expect or not expect from them this year. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, Detroit Lions fans, I know. You know, at least you don't have to deal with any more Lions losses, at least until next season, right? That's done with, and now you have hope. That's the thing about the offseason. You have hope. Hope is the word that you cling on during the offseason because now you basically have a clean slate, especially in your case, Lions fans, because Bob Quinn, gone. Matt Patricia, gone. Another failed experiment when it comes to general manager and coach for the Honolulu Blue. So, I mean, you look at this and you say, okay, the Lions are going to find some way to screw this whole thing up. But, maybe, just maybe, again, that hope word, maybe, just maybe, they nail this. Maybe this is the turnaround that happens here. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions, you know, since the Lions let go of Bob Quinn, parted ways with Bob Quinn and Matty Patty, about, you know, who is going to be the next head coach and GM of this team. And I'll give my prediction in just a moment here, but what I will say is what came out today, what I read concerning President Rod Wood and his stance on, look, we're not waiting for a general manager to be hired to find the head coach. I love that because I think it needs to be looked at as a partnership, not in the literal. That is, we all know the general manager is the boss of the head coach, but it's got to be a partnership. Got to be. If there is some power construct where the GM is pulling strings on the head coach and the head coach is upset with the GM, if there's that kind of relationship going on, it's a trickle down effect, and it makes it really, really tough for both of those men to go out there and do their jobs. The fact that Rod Wood is saying, look, this is a partnership between the two, you have to work together, I think he's insinuating that, hey, Matt Patricia was just kind of rolling with the punches of whatever Bob Quinn wanted to do. You know, and that's not what you want. That's not what you want. You want this thing to be 50-50. Okay? So, I like that. When it comes to who will be the next head coach of this team, I'll probably get to GM tomorrow. When it comes to head coach, Detroit already interviewed Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy last night, and he is one of the most sought candidates of this cycle. Bieniemy also interviewed with the Falcons on Monday, and the New York Jets have also requested an interview, according to reports. And this is the thing, man. You know, when you got a hot coaching candidate like Eric Bieniemy, and you look around the league and you see how many coaching vacancies there are, I mean, you got to act quickly. You got to present a very good pitch to the coach that you're going after, because that coach is going to have options, especially if you are Eric Bieniemy. Another candidate, Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, he is actually expected to interview with the Lions next week. And you know, every other team is looking for a head coach. They have. Every other team that has a coaching vacancy has requested the same interview with Arthur Smith. So, as a thing, you get into this competition, and this is what I hope they don't do, is go with this brother. Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis just isn't a winner. I mean, come on, man. You saw what he did out in Cincy. Just mediocrity over and over and over. He interviewed with the Lions last week, and today, interim head coach Daryl Bevel, he's actually interviewing with the Lions probably as I speak right now. So Detroit has also requested to speak with 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, who I really, really like, and Saints assistant head coach / tight ends coach Dan Campbell. So there are a lot of names thrown out there, a lot of names that I believe could come in and do a pretty good job. The question is, and I think, you know, right now I say all those names like Campbell, Saleh, Bevel, but he probably won't get the job. He was the interim coach. Lewis, he probably won't get the job. I mean, come on, Lions, wake up there. Bieniemy, Smith, it's going to be someone out of that pool. I don't think there's another name that's coming out of nowhere that the Lions are going to go with here. It's going to be one of those guys. Preferably, I mean, I would love to have Eric Bieniemy coach the Detroit Lions. I just don't know how appealing this job is around the league. I don't think Bieniemy comes here. I think Bieniemy actually ends up going with the Atlanta Falcons. That's just my gut talking there. More appealing organization, more winning has happened historically with the Falcons, and so many coaches' careers have come here and just completely died. I don't think Bieniemy is going to take that chance in Detroit. Arthur Smith, also another hot name. Those are two of the hottest names out there, Bieniemy and Smith. I don't think he's going to come here. I believe it's going to be Robert Saleh. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, Al, not another defensive coordinator, please. But he's done an outstanding job with that San Francisco 49ers defense, hasn't he? And I hear so many great things. I've read so many great things about Robert Saleh as a coach. I believe he has some ties to the state as well. Let me just check here. Yeah, he's actually born in Dearborn, Michigan. I knew that. I was actually talking to a fraternity brother of mine, Ahmad, who is telling me that he knows Robert Saleh and knows a lot of people that know him. And he's a 97 graduate of Fortson High School. I actually used to play Fortson High School back in high school when I was a basketball player and captain of the Annapolis High Cougars in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. So he also attended Northern Michigan University from 98 to 02. So, yeah, and let's not forget, speaking of this, I don't know how this didn't hit me because I remember this now. It's all coming back. He began his coaching career at the collegiate level in 02. He spent 4 years working as a defensive assistant with Michigan State from 02 to 03. And then Central Michigan in 04. And then the University of Georgia in 05. So he's got direct ties to this state. And I think he's done a great job. He's Muslim. And that's how I knew that he had ties to Michigan. My fraternity brother, Ahmad, is Muslim, and he was telling me about Saleh and, how he knows a lot of people in the community that know Saleh due to his Muslim background and their shared beliefs there. So I think he's got, a great coaching resume. And, this will be a good start for him as head coach. I think he can do a great job. I don't know. My gut is telling me Robert Saleh. So with that being said, I'm going to get to the GM search tomorrow, and I'll tell you what pitfalls the Lions must avoid here. This is a critical moment for them if they want to continue to be a football team that accrues great talent and finally gets over that hump of winning playoff games. All right, so I'll get to that tomorrow. Pistons and Bucks, just brief thoughts on the Pistons. You're playing the Milwaukee Bucks, the NBA's Eastern Conference team. They were the best team in the East last year, one of the best teams in the NBA, led by one of the best players in the NBA, in the MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Giannis went off. I mean, he went off last night. I believe he had something like 30 points in that first half, which was insane. The first time he's done that in his career. But with that being said, with Giannis continuing to go off, I mean, Giannis is Giannis, and the Pistons just frankly don't have the size and talent defensively to slow him down unless you throw extra bodies at him. But that's just like 90% of the nights in the NBA for Giannis. Nobody can really match up with him. This team, though, the Pistons did not give up. And they are arguably the worst team in the NBA, but that's because they're so young, so inexperienced. There's not a lot of synergy but between the players because they haven't played together with one another. They're still figuring things out. But Dwayne Casey had them boys playing hard last night. I was watching that game very closely, especially in the final minutes. Detroit cut it to like 8 points multiple times. They cut it to single digits, even when the Bucks were seemingly going off. But they muscled up defensively and caused a lot of problems that I said to myself, if they can bottle that up and bring that to the table every single night, we may see some surprise wins for this team moving forward. And also, look, they were shorthanded last night. To do that shorthanded, to only lose by 10 points to one of the NBA's best teams and one of the NBA's superstars in Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's a win in my book right now. You got to change the lens in which you watch these Detroit Pistons, all right? But they were without Blake Griffin and also Detroit native Josh Jackson last night. So you're already shorthanded, and you have a performance from Jeremy Grant like that of the 24 points he put in against the Bucks last night, also three blocks, and Derrick Rose, 24 points off the bench. There is some potential there. I'll just say that. There's some potential. Again, I'm not expecting this team to make a lot of noise this season. This is in full rebuild mode right now to try and, you know, you need to have some superstars on your team nowadays in order to compete for an NBA championship and even nip at the playoffs. And the Pistons just don't have that right now. You know, you could argue Blake Griffin, but Blake Griffin, he's a walking hospital. You just don't know when he's going to be healthy on any given night. And that is always, always tough. All right. And Derrick Rose, he's seen his, you know, he's seen better days. I'll just say that. But, you know, DeLon Wright, Isaiah Stewart, Svi Mihalik, I like his shooting touch a lot. Plumlee is up and down. Killian Hayes had a hip injury last night. I hope he's okay. But, you know, I like Grant. Grant is that guy right now for this team. And also Sekou Doumbouya. He did some things last night that were very impressive. So this is a very young team. A lot of names that I just stated that you don't have any idea who these brothers are. hopefully they can continue to gel and get better. And it's great that, you know, we'll see if they can have a consistent performance like that of last night as they have another opportunity at the NBA's Beast of the East in the Bucks. They will play the Bucks again tomorrow. All right, but that will do it. That will do it for this Tuesday edition, January 5th, 2021, Current Sports Show. We'll see you on the hump day edition of Current Sports. We will have a full recap of whatever happens tonight at the Breslin Center as Michigan State will play host to Rutgers. I think that is going to be a very, very good game. Get your popcorn ready, folks. Again, tip time slated for 9 p.m. on ESPN2. All right. Can Michigan State get win number 2 in the Big Ten Conference? We'll recap it all tomorrow. Until then, continue to be safe, be smart, be healthy, and be easy, people.